Isaiah chapter number 8, and we're going to read just a couple of verses. Look at verse 19. And they shall come and shall... Oh, I'm sorry, that's verse 7. Here we go. Verse number 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to ask you a couple hypothetical situations. Hurricane season's coming up, and hypothetically, hurricane season's coming up, and you need to prepare. How would you feel if someone came up to you and told you all you need to do to have your house secured and prepared, despite their house being destroyed in the last hurricane? Would you have a whole lot of faith and trust in that person? Let's put it to you another way. How many of you, you would like to go sailing? It's your first time ever sailing a boat, and you would like to take instructions from an experienced boat captain. And the person that you get is the captain who used to be the captain of the Titanic. Would you like to take sailing lessons from that guy? No, absolutely not. What if you were taking let's take you back to high school days, all right? What if you were taking a math test, a very important math test, and here comes a guy and he's willing to tutor you and give you all the answers, but this guy is in his 30s and he's still in the 7th grade because he's failed math that many times. Nobody's going to want to put a whole lot of faith and trust in someone that continually fails, right? When you're faced with a task or a challenge in life, you're not going to go to someone who consistently shows failure, right? You're going to go to a professional, okay? You don't want just something mediocre. You want someone who knows what they're doing, right? I think we all do. Now, Isaiah, I mentioned this morning, Isaiah was warning the people. They had crossed a line with God. They had gone so far in their wickedness and in their rebellion against God, God was going to raise up the Assyrian army. And I told you a little bit about the Assyrians this morning, but the Assyrian army at this time was considered the most powerful military force on planet Earth. They were considered unstoppable for the longest time. The Assyrians just took whatever they wanted. And God was going to raise up the Assyrian army against his own people. Well, why in the world would God do that? Because they had crossed a line with God. And God had to do something to get their attention. You know, this is kind of as an aside. Sometimes God has to do some drastic measures to get our attention. God has to bring some things into our lives. Hey, it's a wake-up call. There's some sort of message that God wants us to listen to. And he speaks to us from his word, but oftentimes his word just becomes a coffee book table. Something you put your coffee table book, I mean, is something just that sits there and gathers dust. And God's trying to speak to us and we ignore him. And so God has to bring some sort of trouble. God has to bring some sort of circumstances to get you to call on his name. So the Assyrians were going to invade and destroy everything. And Isaiah is warning the people what's going to happen. Remember, he's a prophet. He is telling the people what will happen in the future. And we know from what we read in the Bible and through world history, the Assyrians did just that. They came in and they wiped out the population. They enslaved the people and they took them captive and they moved them. They deported them all throughout the world, and they took over the land. And Isaiah predicted that when the Assyrians invade, the people of Israel are going to turn to mediums. They're going to turn to witches. They're going to turn to wizards and sorcerers, people who converse with familiar spirits, the Bible says. Let me tell you what that means. A familiar spirit is a demonic force. And these are people who have been communicating with demons for so long, they have become a familiar spirit. It is someone that they talk to quite often. And Isaiah says, you are going to face so much trouble with the Assyrians, and you are going to turn towards mediums because you're going to want to talk to the dead. Now, just think about that for a moment. Why would you want to talk to the dead? If they were so powerful, they wouldn't be dead, right? If the dead knew all that much, then why are they in the grave? And yet, the people of Israel were wanting to conduct seances and talk to the wizards and say, hey, can you contact someone from the other side for me so we can see what should we do to overcome the Assyrians? And God asks them, am I really that bad that you would turn towards the dead instead of the living God? Think about that. He says, I'm the living God. And yet you want to turn towards those who have already passed on. How far do you have to go in order to value what the dead think rather than what God thinks? And that's why I call this message consulting the dead. Here's the hypothetical question. Are you consulting the dead? Are you consulting the dead? Now, chances are, you're facing trouble in your life. Everybody faces trouble in life. It's unavoidable. But sometimes we can be just as foolish as the Israelites. And we want to consult the dead instead of our living God. Now, you may not go to a witch or a medium and attend a seance. At least I hope you don't. Okay? Let me tell you, this is not part of the message, but understand there is very much a spiritual realm that is over top of our own. There are spiritual forces at play right now. There are spiritual forces that are at war, the Bible says. There is spiritual warfare that takes place right now, can I say, in this very room. While you may not be able to see it, God made a clear divide between the physical and the spiritual. And you do not want to go messing around with that veil. God put a barrier between the physical and the spiritual for a reason. And when people start doing things like playing with tarot cards or Ouija boards or all sorts of things like that, what they are doing is taking a peek behind that veil. And the thing is, it's like a door. When the door is open, you better make sure it shuts. Because once you leave it open, you are letting all sorts of spiritual forces into the physical world. This is very real stuff. The Bible teaches us that these things are not to be played with. I mentioned it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. There's a very good reason why an angel, when they show up, the first thing they say is, "Fear not, be not afraid." It's a terrifying thing. And the stories that I could tell you of people who have opened that door into the spiritual realm, it would shock you. It would rock you to your core. And so I encourage you, don't even research that sort of thing. Because while you, if you are a Christian, let me tell you, the Bible teaches that a Christian can never be possessed by a demon. You can never be demon possessed. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? You already got someone taking up residence inside, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't share. Amen? So, but understand, as a Christian, the devil can still oppress you. He may not be able to possess you, but he can oppress you. And someone can be under a lot of demonic oppression. You don't want to mess with that sort of stuff. Now, Why do I say all that? What does that have to do with the message? You don't even want to touch that stuff, right? You don't even want to go near it with a 10-foot pole is what I'm saying. But where I'm getting at is a lot of times when there is trouble in our life, when we face our own Assyrian army, and I don't know what the Assyrian army is in your life. The Assyrian army in your life might be finances. The Assyrian army in your life might be friends or family. I don't know what the Assyrian army is in your life. But whenever we face the Assyrian army, we can be tempted to turn our backs on a living God and consult the dead. Now, what do I mean by the dead? It's who you go to for advice. Who you go to when you need answers for your problems. Look at the state that the world that we live in. This world is spiritually dead. There is no spiritual life in this world. It's a dead place. People call good evil, and they call evil good. This is a true story. This happened a couple years ago, but there was a lifeguard at a water park, and a man was drowning in the pool, and the lifeguard jumped into the pool, dragged this man out, gave the man CPR, and saved his life. Later that same day, the water park fired him for saving a man's life. And the whole reason they did is because he broke policy. He broke the policy or the rules of the water park, and so he got fired. Could you imagine being fired for saving someone's life? Well, the alternative was letting him die, but he'd get to keep his job. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's the kind of world we live in. People call good evil, and they call evil good. We live in a world that commends people who make the brave choice, and it's such a brave choice to rip apart an infant while it's still inside the womb and say that took a lot of bravery for you to do that. And they commend it, and they encourage people to shout your abortion and post it everywhere so people will be inspired to do the same to their own children. This is real stuff. People call good evil and evil good. I told you this is a real thing. This happened 3 or 4 weeks ago. I have some friends who know the person this happened to. There was a street preacher in Phoenix, Arizona. You can look this up. This happened probably a month ago at this point. There's a street preacher. He was just out preaching the gospel on the street corner, and a man walked up to him and pulled a gun and shot him point blank in the head for no reason, because he was doing something that was good. This world is a spiritually dead place. Now, last time I checked, he was in critical condition. I'm sad to say I don't know what his condition is now, but we've been praying for him here at church for a couple weeks. But what I'm saying is this world is a spiritually dead place. And when we face the Assyrian army in our life, when we face problems and troubles and trials and struggles, who are you going to go to? Are you going to go to the living God for answers, or are you going to turn to the world? Are you going to look for the answers in a spiritually dead place? That is the equivalent of holding a seance. And it really is that serious. It is the equivalent of holding a seance when you ask for worldly counsel. Someone who does not know the Lord, and yet you think they can help you solve your problem when they themselves don't even know how to solve their own sin problem. Understand, it's like asking the captain of the Titanic how to sail your boat. You're just going to run into disaster. And that's what God is saying. He's saying, you think even if you could communicate with the dead, do you really think they'd be all that powerful? They could deliver you from the Assyrians? No. In fact, I'm just throwing this out here. If I were dead, and if I were somehow communicating from beyond the grave, I would probably want to do things to bring people where I'm at, right? So you really think they probably got your best interests at heart? this world does not have your best interests at heart. It's a spiritually dead place. You think they really are looking out for you? They think they really care about what's best for you? This world is only concerned with themselves. It's a very selfish generation we live in. It's all about me, 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 I. I don't care who I have to step on to try to get ahead as long as I'm the one that comes out on top. And that's the person, those are the kind of people that we go to when we have a problem in our lives. God forbid. God forbid we consult a dead world to solve our problems. And we ought to face the living God. But here's the consequences of that. When we try to look for advice that does not line up with God's word. Look at it here in verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. Those are both words that are used for God's word. Scripture. So the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, God's word. In other words, you talk to anybody and their advice does not line up with the Bible. Their advice does not line up with God's word. It says it is because there is no light in them. Did you catch that? There's no light in them. What that means to me is something can sound like good advice. Something can sure sound good. You know, you can take anything and package it really nicely. But you've got to test. The Bible says to try the spirits. Because not every spirit is a good spirit. It may sound like good, sound advice to you. It may sound wise. It may sound moral. It may even sound spiritual. You know, sometimes even the worst advice can come from a spiritual source. Because it gets packaged and made to sound spiritual. But you have to filter it through God's word. In other words, it would just be a whole lot easier if you looked at God's word first instead of asking around and then looking at it through God's word. It would be a whole lot easier on you and it would save you a whole lot of heartache if you would just filter it through God's word first thing. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to ask for advice or to ask for counsel. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In other words, it's a good thing to get other people's opinions and get a multitude of counselors together. But don't ever get a multitude of counselors together without taking it first to the Word of God. If the advice you're given disagrees with God's Word, in even the slightest detail, the Bible says there's no light in them. Not even a smidgen. Not a spark, none of it. If it doesn't line up with God's word exactly, 100%, then there is no light in that source. And you need to move on. You need to go somewhere else. That is complete darkness. Throw it out. Look at the next verse. It says, and they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. Again, we're seeing the consequences. When you follow worldly counsel, worldly advice, it leaves you greatly distressed. It leaves you more stressed out than you were when you originally had the problem. Understand? And nobody wants to add stress to themselves. But when you start listening to counsel that doesn't line up with God's word, you are only stressing yourself out even more. It leaves you hungry. Now, it doesn't leave you physically hungry, you know. But what the Bible is talking about here is it leaves you empty. You think this is going to solve your problems, and it doesn't fulfill it for you. You ever been just really hungry and you just go to the buffet and you load up your plate and you scarf down all that food, but it really wasn't anything that you really wanted. You were in the mood for something else and it didn't hit the spot. You still feel hungry. Well, that's the way it is here. If you think that the world's counsel and the world's advice is going to leave you fulfilled, it's only going to leave you feeling empty. Worldly counsel leads to worry. You know, the Bible teaches that worry is a sin. We ought not to worry. Now, can I be honest with you? I'm going to let you in on a little secret, right? While it's just us girls, right? I am not perfect. I'm not. I am a sinner just like everybody else in this building. And one of the sins that I struggle with the most is worry. Because worry is a sin. You're not putting your trust in God. You're not putting faith in God. You're not seeking God and seeking His kingdom and His righteousness first. You're looking at your problems first and ignoring God and putting Him in the background. Worldly counsel will lead you to worry. You're not going to get any peace from any advice this world can give you. They might give you a false sense of security or a false peace, but what happens when that advice doesn't follow through? What happens when the trouble seems to overtake you anyway? Worldly counsel will take you away from God. It will only drive you further and further away from God. And understand, again, even if it sounds spiritual and it sounds moral, and it seems to be lining up with God's word. Do you understand? The devil likes to take scripture, and he likes to use it for his own purposes. Don't believe me? The devil took Jesus to a high place and to the top of the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, "Why don't you just jump off?" Because the Bible says, God says that He won't let you dash your foot against a stone. His angels will hold you up. And Jesus said to the devil, "You know very well that's not what God was saying. That is not the context in which God was using that verse." So understand, the devil even likes to take the Bible and twist things. Okay? And here's the thing. You can prove anything from the Bible. Anything at all. You can prove it from the Bible if you take it out of context. That's the way it is. I kind of laugh because I saw a picture one day. It was a motivational calendar, you know, and they've got the verses of the day on there. And it was a motivational. They got the flowery calligraphy writing and the pretty pictures. And the verse was it was out of Matthew, and it said, "All shall be thine if thou will fall down and worship me." Now, that sounds like a pretty comforting verse until you realize who is the one saying that. That was the devil himself saying that. What I'm saying is even moral counsel that seems to be spiritual, seems to even be taken from God's word, you got to be careful with that sort of thing. What if I told you that you should go home and you should, and by the way, for anyone listening on this recording, or anyone else that hears this, this is a joke, okay? So, I mean, what if I told you that the Bible says you should go home tonight and try a variety of different liquors? Because the Bible says to try the spirits. It does it not? Do you understand what I'm saying? Anybody can take God's word and twist it and make it say something that it doesn't say. Worldly counsel will take you away from God. Worldly counsel leads to despair, depression, even more trouble. The Bible uses the word anguish. Anguish. I think about that word anguish. And have you ever heard the term exsanguination? It's kind of got that word anguish in there. That means to literally drain of all blood. And that's what that means. You are being drained of all that life-giving blood. It's not good. Anguish, suffering. So understand, worldly counsel, that's what that's all going to get you. It may sound good. There will be people that will try to tickle your ears. Motivational speakers. Hey, I found this guy on the internet. I found this guy on YouTube. And let me tell you, he's got some good points. He even uses the Bible. You got to be careful. Filter that thing and make sure that you're not really getting bad counsel, worldly counsel. So what is godly counsel? Well, instead of seeking counsel from the dead, seek counsel from the living God. God possesses all wisdom and knowledge. I don't know if you knew that or not, but God knows everything. God knows you better than you know yourself, which means God knows your problems better than you know your own problems. And sometimes we like to think, well, nobody understands what I'm going through. God knows. He knows. The Bible says he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Nobody understands what it's like when I've got a friend that stabbed me in the back and betrayed me. Oh, Jesus knows that feeling. Because after all, he did call Judas my friend. And Judas did betray him and sold him out. Well, no one knows what it's like. I'm being persecuted and people are making fun of me and people are just tearing my name through the mud. Jesus knows. He knows what that's like. As he was being led to Mount Calvary, where he was to be crucified, and they would spit on him and mock him and curse his holy name. Jesus knows. He understands. So God knows. He has all wisdom, all knowledge. And here's what's great. He loves you. And do you know, because he loves you, he wants what is best for you. When you have children and you love them, you want what's best for them. When my son goes up to the electrical outlet in the wall and he wants to put his fingers, and they're like perfectly shaped for that, right? I'll smack his hand and say, no, don't do that. And he'll whine and he'll cry and he'll carry on like I hate him, like I don't love him. But it's because I love him that I smack his hand. No, we don't do that. Because I don't want him to experience that for himself. Sometimes God is keeping you from something for your own good. Sometimes you want something so badly, and God is trying to keep you away from it because he knows what's on the other end of that thing. He knows the consequences. He knows where this decision is going to take you. And so sometimes God does things that's for our good. The Bible says he does all things well. And so he only wants what's best for you. No distress in your life is too small for God. You might think God doesn't really care about my small little problem. It's so insignificant compared to God. Listen, you could not have any problem in your life that is truly on God's level, right? No matter how bad your problems would be, they could never measure up to God anyway. But God cares even when the sparrow falls. And so understand, when trouble comes into your life, God offers his counsel to you. God wants what's best for you. So how do you look for God's counsel? Well, number one, through his word. God didn't just give us this book so we would have a really cool book to put on our bookshelf and look scholarly. God didn't give us this book just to teach children something and to teach them how to behave. God gave us this book because it's practical. It gives us life lessons. It teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to deal with things in this life. And God's word is so practical. And the problem is we just don't believe it. The problem is we don't even care enough to even try it. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what it means to taste something? This happens all the time. My wife and I will go to a restaurant and she'll say, can I get just a taste of your burger? And I will tell her, no, you can't have a taste of that burger. Because what happens is she gets a little taste, just a little nibble. And then she decides this is really good. So then she wants the whole thing. All right? I'll say, do you want fries? And she'll say, no, I'll just have a little taste of your fries. And so I know I'm getting her her own fries. All right? That's just how it works. The Bible says to taste and see. God's not asking you to dive head first into his word and just read 80 chapters a day. Just give him a little taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, well, I'll give it 5 verses. Hey, that's a taste. That's a taste. And God says, if you taste, you will see that the Lord is good. It's like my wife with that burger. You get a little bit of a taste of it, and pretty soon you're going to want more and more. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Just give him a try. A lot of times the problem is we just don't even want to give it a try. We give up before we even start. Well, I'm not going to look at God's word because I already know what it says. You do not. You're going to tell me you don't need the Bible. You've already got it up here. Okay, because sometimes we read verses and we read God's word and we think we know what it says. And really, we've been reading it wrong this whole time. Right? Let me ask you a question. How many animals did Noah bring on the ark? 2 by 2, right? Wrong. You know, he brought 2 of every unclean animal, 7 of every clean animal. But nobody ever talks about that. Because, well, I don't need to read the Bible. I already know what it says. Oh, really? How about that? So sometimes we think we're familiar with God's word, but we need to re-familiarize ourselves with it each and every single day. I know that was a silly example, but let's move on. How do you get God's counsel? Through prayer. Through prayer, just by talking to him. How you would get counsel from anybody else, talking to somebody, you can talk to God. Have you ever noticed sometimes you just need to tell somebody, you just need to get something off your chest, and you already feel better, right? Sometimes that's all you need, is you just needed to talk to someone, and when you talk about it out loud, it's like something just clicked in your head. You know, that's the way it is with God sometimes. Sometimes God just wants you to pour your heart out to him. And you know what? God doesn't get tired of hearing it. I know there's some people that feel like, well, I don't want to bother God. Hey, if you think you're so powerful that you could bother God, you have no idea who God is. You couldn't bother God if you tried. Not with your problems. God finds great joy when we bring our grief to him. Think about that for a moment. When we bring our grief to God, it's music to his ears. This is my child. And he's calling out to me because he needs me. Because he's got problems in his life. And he could have gone to anybody else, but he came to me. You know that pleases God?
Yeah.
We ought to seek God's counsel through prayer. How about this? You can get counsel from the spiritual authorities in your life. What do I mean? There are men of God who have dedicated their lives to studying this book. And they love you. I have not been your pastor for very long. It's been about 3 months. And it's going to take some time for me to make the transition from being your preacher to being your pastor. But I care about you. And I want what's best for you. And even if you don't feel like you can come to me, you've got Brother Gentry. And he was your pastor he was the pastor here for 10 years. And he knows you and he loves you and he cares about you. And he's going to tell you what's best for you. Listen, there are so many people, and I'm not talking just about pastors, but look at the spiritual people in your life. The people that you can point to in your life and say, they are spiritual. They are people who go to the Lord. These are people who trust in God and in his promises. And hey, seek counsel from them. So what am I getting at? Well, when trouble comes your way, the Assyrian army is on the horizon and they've got their chariots and their spears pointed right at you. Instead of going to a seance and getting counsel from a dead world that doesn't know how to solve their problems, we ought to turn to God, the living God. He's the only one that can fix it. He ought to be our first go-to. A lot of people treat God like he's just our last resort. I'm going to do everything I can, and then I will go to God. And can I tell you, that's not how it ought to be. God ought to be the first person we take our problems to. If you still think the world knows all the answers to life, that is a foolish mindset. This world cannot help you. It cannot help you get any better. If you don't take your issues to God and you seek counsel from a dead source like this world, you're saying that you don't really believe that God loves you. Is that not what you're saying? When I don't take my problems to God, I'm essentially telling God, I don't think you really love me. I don't think you really want what's best for me. And you're going to tell that to the one who stretched out his arms on that cross and suffered and died to take you to heaven, that he doesn't really love you and he doesn't really have your best interests at heart? Are you saying that God doesn't know what's best in your life? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I don't know what's going on in your life. You may be going through problems right now, and you don't know what to do. Or maybe you will face problems in your life. If you don't have them right now, just buckle up, because they will come. But maybe tonight you just need to determine that when problems come up, you're going to go to God. You're not going to go to the world. You're not going to go to the dead. They don't know what they're talking about. But you're going to take your problems to God himself. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. If you just gave him a try, you'd see that he really can solve your problems. He really can fix it. So whatever the need is, when the music begins to